For the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He? And together we sing.
Amen. Holy is the Lord, and we desire to be part of this world that brings glory and honor to Him. I'd like to welcome you to joining us this morning. We are here at Calvary Church in Enfield, Connecticut. I'm Pastor Steve Thayer, and I want to thank Donna and Gary Hess and Jim Len, who are our worship team, who are working to bring worship into your home. This, of course, is not the way we would have chosen to worship. It's better when we're all worshiping together. But due to the circumstances in which we find ourselves, this is the way that we needed to go. And so would ask you to bear with us. This is a learning experience for us. We have not done this before. Already today, we've learned some very good tips, like make sure the pastor's microphone works before you record an hour of video and have to do it through again, which we are now. I am on, aren't I? Yes. Yes, I am on. We also realized this morning that that the camera won't pick up our projected words. We will fix that by next week, but right now we'd invite you just to join in and sing along as best as you can. But it is good to be together as the people of God, for even though we are not physically in the same place, God is beyond time and space. And though we may be sitting in front of a computer or a TV screen in our home or somewhere else, we are all united in Jesus Christ and connected one with another. And so though this is not the optimal way to worship, I truly believe that God is going to bless us as we honor Him with our worship this morning. So let's pray together. Father, we thank You for the privilege of worship, for the privilege that we have to lift up the name of Jesus, to praise You for who You are, to seek you to work in our lives and to give you the glory that is due in your name. And so, Lord, I pray that even though we are scattered one from another, that you would unite us by your Holy Spirit, that we would also that we would know as we gather not only that we are united with you, but that we would have a sense of being united with brothers and sisters in scattered places. And so, Lord, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us as we lead, send your Holy Spirit upon each person as they participate from home. And Lord, use this all to bring glory and praise to your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us worship God. I will exalt you, my God and King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will extol you and praise your name forever and ever. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. Let us worship the Lord together.
Before me, the world behind, no turning back, raise the banner high. It's not for me, it's all for you. Let the heavens shake and split the sky. Let the people clap their hands and cry. Not for us, it's all for you. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Our hearts unfold before your throne, the only place for those who know. It's not for us, it's all for you. Send your holy fire on this offering. Let our worship burn for the world to see. It's not for us, it's all for you.
Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory.
The earth is shaking, mountain shouting,
it's all for you.
The waves are crashing, the sun is raging,
it's all for you.
The universe spinning and singing,
it's all for you.
Your children dancing, dancing, dancing,
it's all for you. It's all for you.
My all for you.
Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory.
The earth is shaking, the mountain shouting,
it's all for you.
The waves are crashing, the sun is raging,
it's all for you.
The universe singing and singing,
it's all for you.
Your children dancing, dancing, dancing,
it's all for you.
It's all for you.
My all for you.
Love.
together lovely, all together worthy, all together wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God.
Father, we are here to worship you, to honor you, and to bless your holy name. You are the one who is like no other, the one to whom all honor and glory are praise and praise is due. You are glorious in your majesty, you are mighty in your strength, you are powerful in your love. And we thank you that we come before you to worship you, because that is what we were created to do, and that is what we were redeemed to do. Lord, we recognize that we are created to glorify you and enjoy you forever. And indeed, we reach our deepest fulfillment and purpose when we do that. We thank you that when we turned from you in sin and no longer were able to come into your presence, that you did not turn from us. But in the fullness of time, you sent your Son to be our Savior, to come into this world as one of us, to proclaim your kingdom, to die on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven, and to rise in triumph from the dead to bring us new life. We thank you that in Jesus we are your children, we are your beloved, and we come to worship you as a response of awe and wonder at your greatness, but also a response of gratitude for your great love. And so I pray that as we gather together, while we're gathered, even if we're in separate places, that we, as we come before your throne, as we come before the cross, that Jesus, that you would loose our hearts to truly praise you, that you would open our eyes and our ears and our minds to hear your word, and that you would work in us that which enables us more deeply in our worship to glorify you, but also deeply within us to enjoy you and serve you all the days of our life. And we thank you that we can do this not because of any merit of our own, because of your free and gracious gift of the gospel in Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh God, we come before you and we exalt you in your greatness, and we worship you for your love. In Jesus' name.
Sings my
my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then shall my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art, how great Thou art.
Amen. You are great, Lord. You are great in your power. You're great in your wisdom. You're great in your majesty. You're great in your love. Open our eyes and our minds to all those facets of your reality. Amen. Normally, I would say, please be seated. If you're standing, well, you can be seated, you can stand, you can lie down at this point, whatever is most comfortable. As we prepare to hear God's word to us, we have worship at its best is dialogue. You know, we come and to the Lord at his invitation. We come and lift to the Lord our praises and our thanksgivings towards him for who he is and what he has done. And then we also come not only so that he can hear from us, but so that we can hear from him. And so now, having lifted our praises to God, we come to hear him speak. And our scripture lesson for this morning will be from Psalm 46. Beginning at verse 1. But as we prepare to hear God's word to us, let's join together in prayer. O God, you are eternal. Your truth and your word does not change. We thank you that you are God who has not left us in the dark about your purposes for us, but you have revealed yourself. And now I pray, Lord God, as we look to your holy word, that you would open our hearts and our minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that in the midst of a changing, challenging, uncertain world, we may hear that unchanging word that you have for us today through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she shall not fall. God will help her at the break of day. The nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease and to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And the focus of, we'll be looking at the whole psalm, but the focus will be on our text, which is verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. I would invite you just to close your eyes for a moment and remember a time when you were still and peaceful. If you are like me, a number of images may have gone through your mind at this time. May have had an image of sitting beside a quiet lake on a beautiful, beautiful day, feeling the breeze blow gently across your face. You may have had an image of sitting by the ocean, watching the regularity of the waves going in and out, and just having this sense of peace. Or you might be a mountain person having climbed to the top of the mountain and overlooking a vista, and just being in peace and stillness and wonder at the glory of the view. You might have thought of a time when you were very close with someone whom you loved, and you were together doing something you loved together, and there's this sense of stillness and peacefulness. You might have thought of a time of holding a child or a grandchild when you have them in your arms and you just have the sense that everything is all right. It's good to have those times to be still. It's good to have those times of peace. But as we look at the situation of the world around us, as we look at the situation of our own lives, particularly over the last few weeks, you know, we can ask, well, how can we be still? How can we be peaceful in the midst of all this? I mean, over the last few weeks, we have been moving into a time when it's very difficult to imagine being peaceful and still, and it's hard to know when that's going to end. I mean, a sense of security that has characterized many of our lives has been supplanted in uncertainty or maybe even fear. You know, there's uncertainty and there's anxiety over our own health. You know, will I get the virus? Will I be one of those 30 or 40 or 50% for our own health, or particularly for those who are near and dear to our lives who are particularly at risk if they do get it? You know, for many people, there's uncertainty about the future. And will I have a job next month? Or next week? You know, there's stock portfolios and our net worth, which many of us counted upon for, you know, that good life of retirement, have diminished considerably just in the last 14 days. There's uncertainty as well about whether the institutions that we have counted on to kind of take care of things are really up to the task this time. And in the midst of this, I suspect that there are some who are listening to this who may be thinking, you know, how can I be still? How can I be peaceful in a time such as this? And that honestly is a very good question. You know, it's one thing to be peaceful when things are going good, but how can we do that in days of trouble? Truthfully, I honestly don't know how unbelievers would answer that question other than to realize, well, things could be worse. But for us who are the people of God, that we have a deeper reality. We have a reality that our sense of peace rests not so much in our circumstances, but on the one who is over all our circumstances. You see, when we look at the scriptures, it is very clear that the source of our confidence and our peace as the people of God is not found in our circumstances, but in a faithful God who is present and who cares for his people. And that's what this 46th Psalm is all about. In the Psalm 46, we see an exposition of a God who is faithful and how God's people can rely upon him as our stronghold of faith and our source of peace. Psalm 46 was a song that was used in worship in the Jerusalem temple, which celebrated God's faithfulness and celebrated God's presence with his people. Its form was that of an antiphon, in which worship leaders would sing the main part, and then the people would respond with the words, "The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress." And these words summed up Israel's understanding of where security and hope and safety were found. Now, I'm not going to downplay for the minute the seriousness of what we are going through right now. But the reality is that the experience of people in biblical times and throughout most of human history was much more precarious than even what we face now. People, for the most part, lived at a subsistence level. You know, what they earned that day or what food they gathered that day was what would sustain them until tomorrow. You know, and they lived in a time when the threat of famine and pestilence or a pandemic were ever present and much more serious and deadly than we have now. You know, they had bigger concerns about whether I'm going to be able to find toilet paper or sanitizing wipes at Walmart. It was in very real way for many a matter of life and death. And when you look at the nation of Israel, even for them as a nation, you know, they had had their day in the sun, but for most of their history, they had been threatened and bullied by outside powers much stronger than themselves. And in the midst of this, it would have been easy for them to look around and wonder, you know, where can we find security and safety and hope? And so in its worship, Israel pointed beyond the outward circumstances to put trust and hope in their faithful God. And this passage expresses that beautifully. Psalm 46 consists of three stanzas, each proclaiming a different aspect of the God in whom Israel trusted. In the first, God is portrayed as the stronghold of his people who can be trusted even in the midst of extreme and unparalleled change. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. These words express the absolute trust of the people of God. Though the reality of earthly existence may be shaken, though the waters of chaos may threaten to overwhelm life, though all of creation as we know it may tremble, God, our God, is our refuge. God is the source and the meaning of human existence, indeed of all creation. And what the psalmist is proclaiming, that no matter what happens, God will stand firm and God's people can find refuge in him. In the midst of a seemingly chaotic world, in a day when change swirls all around us, in a time when the persons and institutions we've leaned on for meaning seem to be wavering or crumbling, in a time where, you know, for the first time in a long time, you know, we have some real questions about our future and our personal safety, where can we have hope? Well, we can answer with the people of Israel in this mighty refrain. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Now, Israel did not understand this as some kind of quiet retreat from a chaotic world. They did not see it as a promise that God's people would be somehow lifted up and spared the effects of a fallen creation. Rather, it was a proclamation that we know the one who rules over it all, and in him are able to find security to anchor our lives, and to give us hope, and to give us peace. That is not to say that we as God's people will not be affected by outside forces. It is not to say that our circumstances will always be rosy. It is not say that we does not say that we will not suffer, but it does say that we have a security that nothing can take away. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And as we put our trust in this God, we need not fear the future, for we know that all of time is in God's hand. As we place our trust in God, we have confidence that the one who is the creator will endure forever, and he has promised to be our strength. In Psalm 46, Israel proclaimed the security of trusting in God, our fortress and our deliverer. And then, however, in the second stanza, beginning at verse 4, we see that this has a special meaning for the people of God. For they not only saw themselves as the ones who knew God, but they were also people of God's presence. Psalm 46 is known as one of the Psalms of Zion. And to understand this, we need to understand the theology that's behind it. The people of Israel believed that though God was the creator of heaven and earth and all that was in them, that he had chosen Israel for a special relationship. Out of all the people on the face of the earth, God, by grace and by grace alone, had chosen Israel to be his special people and had demonstrated that choice through mighty acts of deliverance, but most of all by dwelling among them. And that was symbolized in the tabernacle as it went with the Israelites on the Exodus. It was symbolized by the temple in Jerusalem, which were seen as the very dwelling place of God among his people. And so it was the presence of God that was the basis of Israel's life and hope. Because God was in their midst, there was not only security, but there was blessing and joy. Listen to verses 4 and 5. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Where God is present with his people, there is confidence and hope and joy. The life-giving river of God flows through their city, giving the blessing and joy of God's presence. Because God is within the city, they believe no enemy will overcome her. God will save at the break of day. See, in the theology of Zion, Israel's hope comes not from military or economic might, not from the strength or the inventiveness of her citizens, but from the wonderful truth that God dwells in her midst. God's presence was a source of security and vitality and flourishing, and their worship focused on celebrating his presence and his care. Now, this theme is also seen among God's people in the New Testament. We too understand ourselves as a chosen people. We are chosen by grace in Jesus Christ and believe that God dwells with us, not in a temple, not in a building, but in his church, his people, by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, those who trust in Jesus as their Lord and Savior have received the Spirit into their lives. The God who dwelt in Zion now dwells in us. Therefore, we can know as well that we are never alone. We are not alone as we go through trials and challenges and even tragedies of life. We are not alone as we seek to become the people that God would call us to be. We are not alone as we seek to be the church together. We are not alone as we worship, though we are dispersed in various places this morning. God is present. God is present by His Holy Spirit. You know, if we really believe that, what a difference that would make. For we would recognize that we have more than just ourselves or our own resources to rely upon. We would recognize that we are not alone to face challenges in this world in our own strength. We would have confidence and hope in the God who dwells in us in all things. Psalm 46 proclaims security in God's power and presence. But then there's a third theme that we need to pick up, and that theme is that Israel also praises God for the hope that we have in God's future. You see, the psalm ends with looking to a time when God's power and presence and righteousness would be known, not just to Israel, but throughout the earth. A time when God would reveal His love and salvation to all people. A time when He would overcome all the powers arrayed against Him. A time that would bring His peace and wholeness. The Hebrew word is shalom, which talks about peace and wholeness and flourishing and returning to God's original creative intent. When that would be restored in all creation. And in response to that, we have the words that are our text. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. Now, what is these words doing here? God here is not simply calling people to quiet meditation, although quiet meditation is a very good thing indeed. But the word Hebrew phrase here, be still, conveys a command. Quite literally, God is saying, in the midst of the chaos and the confusion and the uproar of the world, be quiet and listen. Stop your wars. Stop your strivings. Stop your conquests. Stop your business. Stop it all and listen to the truth. I will be exalted over the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. And the psalmist shares God's call to be still and to proclaim a day that will come when God's supremacy will be known by all. And in that day, peace and justice and righteousness will reign over all the earth. Those who trust in Christ have confidence and hope, for in the midst of confusion and change and chaos, and in the midst of stock market meltdown and coronavirus, in the midst of seemingly escalating confusion and chaos, we know how it's going to end. And we live in the confidence that our God will be victorious over all. Now, that once again, that's not to say that God's people will have it easy. Many of the Psalms in the New Testament affirm that God's people suffer the results of being in a fallen world. Confidence in God does not guarantee a trouble-free life, but in the midst of trial and suffering and chaos and confusion, trouble and persecution, we can have confidence that allows us to praise God. For God is our fortress. God dwells in our midst. And God assures us that we shall share in His triumph. Be still and know that I am God. And so what this, I believe, says to us in this time where some of us, many of us, are literally in a place where we are still more than we've been in a long time because we can't run here and there. You know, we may be working from home. We're not going to the stores or to the restaurants. The kids are at home. Okay, so maybe that doesn't make a home still and quiet. But you get the point. This may be a time where God is inviting us to step back and to focus on where our real hope and confidence and purpose lies. So may we, during these days to come, when we will probably be hearing more bad news, when we're going to have to live with uncertainty for who knows how long, may we be a people who are able to be still and know that God is God, that He is our fortress, that He dwells close with us, and that in the end, His purposes are going to be carried out. May we be a people who take the time, who intentionally take the effort to be still and reflect upon these great promises, on these great assurances of God, that even in the midst of all this, we may not only have peace for ourselves, but maybe people who are equipped and enabled to share and spread peace to those who are around us. And now to our great God and His Son, Jesus Christ, be all honor and glory now and forever. Let's just pause for a moment in prayer. And what I'm going to invite you to do is simply to take a moment or two to reflect upon these great truths, that God is our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble, that God is present with us in all times and in all circumstances, and that the day is going to come that God will be exalted and revealed to all nations in His new creation. Take a moment to reflect upon those truths and to begin to ask that God would implant that reality more and more into your life. And then we're going to sing a song together, because this happens. We experience this as we put God in His proper place, which is first. Not only first in our allegiance, not only first in our profession, but first in our love. And then I would invite you to sing this song as a prayer that God would be increasingly our first love, that in Him we would be still. In Him we would know peace. So let's just pause and be quiet for a moment. Let's now sing this song as a prayer of desire that Jesus, God, would be our first love.
Be my first love. Be my first love.
Son of God, Holy Spirit. Give me a passion for the Son of God. My heart cries, Jesus, 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 Lord. My heart cries, Jesus, 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 Lord of my life. Be my first love.
God, you are so good, and your promises are sure. And I pray, Lord God, may we more fully each day surrender to you and look and trust to you as our hope and our salvation. And trusting in your goodness and in your invitation to come to you, we lift up the needs of this world and of your church and of those we know and love. We pray for a world which is in chaos and is reeling the brokenness, not the least of which is the current pandemic. And we pray, O God, that in your mercy, that you would stay the full effect of this. Father, we pray for leaders of nations and states and communities, that they would have wisdom and discernment in matters to help control this. I pray, O God, that there would be wise and just policies and decisions. And I pray that there would be a people who are willing to seek to pay attention for the common good. Father, we pray particularly for those who are on the front lines of this pandemic. We pray for first responders. We pray for medical professionals, doctors and nurses and therapists who put themselves at risk by coming in contact with people who are infected. Oh Lord, I pray that you would be very close to them, that you would protect them, and that you would honor their hearts that are desiring to serve their fellow people Lord, we also pray for your church. And we pray, oh God, that you would, Lord, I believe that there is something you want to teach us as your church through all this. And I pray that we would be able to discern it. That this would be more than a period of time where we simply suspend what we've been doing and withdraw. But that, Lord, you would even begin to show us ways where in the midst of need, you are calling us to respond. And that we would come out of this time not weaker, but stronger. Because we have been still before you. And that we have been obedient to the call that you have upon us to serve. Father, we bring before you those whom we know and love. We pray for the ill and for the recovering. We pray for the grieving and the lonely and the isolated. We pray, O God, for those who, for various reasons, are at high risk of this disease. Lord, would you surround them and protect them? O God, we lift up to you the names of those who are particularly on our hearts and minds right now. And we'd invite you to do that, either speak it out or in quiet. As a church, we particularly remember Don and Jean and Dot, Joe and Deb and Roma, Gloria and Ted, Roz and Bill, Ed and Marquita, Fred and Chris. We pray, O God, that you would be at work in their lives and in their situations, that they would be able to be still and trust in your goodness, and that your healing power would be at work in their lives. We pray for ourselves, O God. We pray that you would, that during this time, that you would work in our lives as well for our good and for your glory. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who taught his people to pray together, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, it's been good to share this time with you this morning or this afternoon or whatever it is that you watch it. Would invite you to, if you're not part of the Calvary family, to look at our website, calvaryenfield.org, and find some more information about ways that we might be able to keep connected during this time. But I'd like to send you forth in the manner that, you're not going anywhere. We are, but you aren't. But I'd like to bless you as we end in the manner that we do every Sunday here at Calvary. And that is, remember who you are. You are the people of God, called and chosen, loved and forgiven, indwelled by the Spirit, by the amazing, wonderful grace of God revealed in Jesus Christ. Remember who you are and be still before him, trusting in God's promises, in his goodness, and in his future, so that you might know his peace, but also be a person of peace to the lives of those who are around you. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. God bless you. Be well.
The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. He leads me by the still, still waters. His goodness restores my soul. And I will trust in you alone. And I will trust in you. Mercy, follow me, your goodness will.